One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Coming at you from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. And this is show number 163. Can you believe that? Brought to you by Local 150 Operating Engineers, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. And boy, do we have a guest for you tonight. He brought his own entourage. Thanks for all of you guys for coming. He is the president of the Emerald Society of Illinois, our old pal, Daniel Kearns. What do you say, Daniel?
Good evening, everyone.
What an amazing story. I didn't know your story until you sent it to me. You are the 11th of 11 children.
Yes, I'm the caboose.
That's
not the baby. Yeah. I'm the caboose.
Okay, all right. The TV was broken at your house, I assume, right?
What
TV? What did your dad do for a living?
He was a carpenter.
God bless him.
Local 13.
And he took, and he had 11 kids.
11 children, yes.
Holy cow. Are you folks still alive?
My oldest brother, Peter. My sister, Therese.
Pete.
My niece, Therese. Melissa. Nephew-in-law. My brother-in-law, Christopher.
Oh, good.
Along with my other brothers and sisters from the Emerald Society, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My jail guards from my county days.
Well, let's take me back. You're the youngest of 11 kids. St. Andrew's Parish, is that right?
St. Andrew's, St. Benedict's. Yeah. We all went to St. Andrew's and St. Benedict's.
Okay.
Three generations of Kearns went to St. Andrew's, starting with my father.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Continuing on.
You know, we had Gino Cooney recently on the
show. Very good friends of ours.
Oh, is he?
His father and our father were
St. Andrew's.
Good friends.
Yeah.
Cooney
yeah.
Funeral Home, yeah. Knights of Columbus.
He grew up above the funeral home.
Yeah, Sodom Southport.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you were going to tell me a little story about how the Kearnses came to America.
This is, I believe, the ultimate Irish love story.
Okay.
So, back in the day, my grandfather was a part of the IRA. He was actually a captain with the IRA. Yeah. And he was...
What was his name?
John P. Kearns.
John P. Kearns, okay.
And my grandmother, Catherine Harity Kearns.
Ah.
And back in the day, he was injured in a skirmish, a battle.
Yeah.
Somehow when his eyes were injured. And my grandmother was a part of the IRA Women's Brigade. She wasn't a nurse, but they were training to help and deal with people's injuries.
What year was this?
It had to be in the 1915s.
Oh, right before the Revolution.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how it exactly happened, I've been speaking with my uncle Eddie Kearns, and he gave us a lot of information for this. So when my grandfather was injured, she was one of the nurses that were helping nurse him back to health.
And did they know each other?
They didn't know each other at all. He was born in a small town just outside of Westport in Mayo called Owenwee.
Owenwee.
And she was in Lynmore.
Ah.
But she was one of the nurses or the Irish Women's Irish Brigade to help with bringing people or helping people nurse back to health.
Yeah.
And his eyes were bandaged. So he got injured. He never seen my grandmother.
Yeah.
So years later, somehow he was imprisoned by the English.
Right.
And
the dirty blackguards.
Yeah. And and then they came back, or my grandmother came to America in 1920.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather came here in 1924.
Okay.
So the Irish fellowship dances that used to happen on the Thursday nights, he heard her voice.
No.
And he went and reintroduced himself to him.
Yeah.
In 1926, they were married.
So and he said, did she remember him?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, we heard stories through our lives growing up in my grandfather's house and everything else. He always said, my father would say that my grandfather would say that she had the most lovely voice that he's ever heard, the voice of an angel.
Sure.
So we never seen her, and after his injury, and he was in prison, got out and came to America.
Dreamed about
it. They both came to Chicago and rekindled their relationship, and thankfully, and that's how the Kearns family came here.
Oh my God.
So and
I'm gonna start crying.
Well, here I have something even better. So they lived in three different houses on the north side, always staying in St. Andrew's Parish. They first lived on the 1200 block of Cornelia.
Yeah.
Then after that, they moved to the 2300
West
block.
West Cornelia.
Yeah. And then the 2300 block of West Addison. And then in 1941, they moved into the 1900 block of Newport.
Uh-huh.
So that's our first official family house in America. And that's where I live today.
You still live there?
I live there.
Good for you.
17 years ago, my father sold it to me. My brothers and sisters, we all
remodeled. Is your dad still alive?
No, he passed 10 years ago.
Oh, God rest his
11
soul.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So we remodeled it, and we have our wall with our family crests.
Yeah.
On the left side is the O'Reilly, which is my mother. And then on the right side is the Kearns.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, grandfather on top. And we have a very rare photo of my grandfather in his IRA uniform.
No kidding. Yeah. So you know, I just did a film about a guy named James Ambrose Kearns, the father of the Chicago flag. He was born on a little island called Inishkuttle, County Mayo, just off the right near Westport.
Well, thankfully, through my Uncle Eddie, we know our lineage pretty well.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
I don't think he's had any relation. I don't remember that.
We were probably putting you in an Uber to go home from Jeff's house.
Okay, yes. But he married a woman named Catherine Quinn. And there must have been a lot of Kearnses in Mayo then because...
I can imagine.
They're good stock, good people. Okay. All right, so then you were a little kid, St. Andrew's the youngest. What's the boy-girl ratio?
There's 8 boys and 3 girls.
Holy cow. Oh, my. Your poor mother.
My poor father.
Yeah.
My mother always said she was the aggressor on that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what that means, but I'm not going to go there. So you were the caboose. And when did you say, I want to go? Anybody else in law enforcement in your family?
Yes, I have two of my brothers. My brother Matthew was with the Cook County Sheriff's Department also. My brother Patrick retired Chicago 1 year, one year retired January 19th.
Oh, good for him.
He started with the Cook County Sheriff's Department also, Marine Corps before that.
Yeah.
So my father was in the Marine Corps. We have lots of family members, cousins. I have two cousins that are on, Dominic Kearns, which I believe you know.
Yeah.
My cousin Mark, who's a lieutenant with... the detectives, I don't know which area he just got promoted.
Yeah.
Jeff, you may be able to help me with that one.
Okay.
But yeah, we got a lot of family members, and our great cousin, James O'Grady, is a little known secret. He's also our cousin.
Jim O'Grady, who was the sheriff?
Yes.
And
superintendent
God.
Of the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
And that's part of the reason why I became a police officer.
Jim O'Grady?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So back in the day when we used to march down Clark,
For the parade?
For the parade.
Yeah.
For St. Patrick's Day. Jim was marching with the police department. And my mother, we were down there right by the Daly Center. We had our normal spot. Jim noticed my mom. She came over, said hello to me. Jim put me on his shoulders, and I marched down Clark.
Are there pictures of that? Yeah.
I doubt it back in the day, that's 42 years ago.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons I got in law enforcement, because of James O'Grady.
But you're basically a Northsider.
I drink everywhere.
Did you get a nosebleed coming out here today?
No, I've been up and down Western for a long, long time.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, remember, I've driven to Oklahoma for a drink and even San Antonio, Texas.
Just for that drink.
Yeah, just for a drink and back.
Yeah, okay. You're also a motorcycle guy.
I am.
Yeah.
Certified Harley-Davidson Northwestern motorcycle. I'm a motorman, as they call us.
Wow. Yeah. And you have a little boy.
I do.
What's his name?
Daniel Peter. It's named after the two best people I know, myself and my father.
And how old is he?
He is 6.
Ah, God
born,
bless him.
December 15th.
I met him, yeah. He's
yes.
a good kid.
Yeah. He's a handful.
Yeah, I'll bet he is. Well, so are you, my friend.
The apple does not fall far from the tree, that's for sure.
Okay. So St. Benedict's, didn't they just close that?
They did. They closed.
What
the,
a shame.
The grade school's open. But
Billy's kids went there.
Yep, we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
All 11 children went to St. Andrew's and... St. Benedict's.
Your dad did all right, because that was expensive.
I don't,
you know?
We talk about this often. I don't know how my parents did it. especially with the, I'll say, shenanigans and things that we've done through our times.
Just but, in bail money.
Well, we were pretty good at that, not getting caught.
Yeah, okay.
So it was good, especially with my older brothers, as other friends of ours went into the police force, and as we were throwing parties and such. My father was also big with the Knights of Columbus.
Oh,
so
sure.
When they would go on to their retreats and things like that, we would be left home alone.
Wow.
My brother Peter has a great story of they were on one of their retreats, and he comes home, and we got all the furniture pushed aside, and things going down. And one of our friends is working the door, and they try to get money from him.
He's from, like, your father?
No, from my brother, my brother Peter. And he's like, where's my brothers? And just one of the things that we did.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when you, it says here that you started in security, basically, right?
I started security at the Hyatt Regency downtown.
Oh, wow.
151 East Wacker.
Yeah, sure.
Great job.
Yeah.
I actually tried, when I was getting hired by the Cook County Sheriff's Department, they offered me to stay. And I'm like, if you offer me what I'd be getting paid at the Sheriff's Department, I'll stay. But they couldn't match
it. Yeah, sure.
And I'm glad I didn't, because K-Town and Miguel and the other jail guards that are here, best opportunities of my life, other than the bell ringer, Timmy Burns.
Was Mike Sheehan the sheriff then?
He was, thank goodness. Thank
the
goodness.
Best man.
He was a great boss.
Yeah. You didn't know PJOD by any chance, did you? He actually worked at the courthouse, but he was tight with the sheriff.
No, I didn't know him offhand, but Sheriff Sheehan was definitely one of the best bosses we worked for.
Oh, he's the best. Terrific guy.
Other than O'Grady, of course.
Okay, I'm not going to touch that. I'll tell you a story off camera later. Okay, so now you're with the, you did how long at the Cook County Sheriff's Office?
I spent 10 years with the Cook County Sheriff's Department. I started off in the Supermax Division, Divisional 11.
Yeah, what's
it
that
was
all about?
It was a new division at the time.
It's a jail, basically.
Yes, it's a jail, but everything was electronically controlled. So going through and moving the inmates, pre-trial detainees.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience, especially that time.
Did they ever get obstreperous and trying to, you know?
Back in the day when we were able to do what we needed to do, it didn't need to be done. So I was fortunate. I worked for some great bosses there. Rossetti, Jesse, Lieutenant Atkins, Dargis. And coming on, we had one of the biggest graduating classes at the time. There was 111 of us that graduated at the time.
Graduated from what?
From the Cook County Sheriff's Corrections Training Academy.
Okay, yeah.
And we got sent in the jail. And they sent...
All 111 of you?
No, 37 of us got sent to the Supermax.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, you hear the stories of, oh, the new guys, they don't listen, everything else. We were very well welcomed by the senior officers because we were a very good group of people.
Yeah.
And we worked well together, and we listened. We shut our mouth, and we listened. So when you have bosses that are good, and they direct you in the right way and do the right things, we're able to maintain control the appropriate ways without getting anyone into trouble and maintaining everything inside the jail. K-Town can attest to that.
K-Town, what does that mean? What does that stand for? Oh, okay, so they call him K-Town. He said he has a very Slavic name.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But he was a senior guy when they honored. He pulled us under his wing and showed us the right way to jail.
The right way to jail. Nobody can hear any of you guys, so forget it. The right way to jail, though, that's interesting. Because being a jail guard, I would.
You got to be careful. You can't call me a jail guard. Oh. Jeff and K-Town, Miguel, they can call us jail guards. You can't.
Okay.
You got to earn that right.
Oh, all right. What do I call you?
Mr. President.
Oh, Mr. President. Okay.
Bazinga.
Let's go, Brandon.
Whoa.
No, you're a great president of the Emerald Society, Mr.
Only
President.
Because of the board that I have working with me.
Yes, indeed. And if you were involved in the selection of the Man of the Year for 2020 and 2021, I got to give you credit.
We have to give you credit, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be partially where we're at now.
So tell me some stories. I'm sure the jail had some stories, huh?
Yeah, jail has many stories, but not always anything that we could absolutely share.
Okay. So, what do you want to tell me?
So
talk to me.
One of my good stories. So after several years of working in the jail, they had a response team that was formed that's mandated that you have to have in facilities like that was SORT, Special Operations Response Team.
SORT.
SORT.
Yeah.
So very tough, rigorous application process to go in there. You have to take a written test, a psychological test, and which I still don't know how I passed all seven of the ones that I've taken.
Yes.
Yes, seven. And then from there, if you're selected from that, passing that, you go through a three-week trial boot camp. And it is by far one of the hardest things that I've ever had to endure in my life.
Yeah.
We had some very sadistic training officers. Richard Velasquez being one of them. He's now the commander in the of the South in Markham with the Cook County Sheriff's Police.
Yeah.
Tremendous training, learning room entry, cell extractions, the physical aspect of it, mental. Because what they'll do is just like any other boot camp. They bring you down, they break you all the way down, then they bring you back up.
Yeah.
So it was 3 weeks.
Did you wrestle in high school or anything?
Oh,
yes, okay. Because you look like a guy who can handle himself. Yeah,
back in the day, yes. I was a state qualifying wrestler at 119 pounds in 1990.
Oh, good for you,
So that helped me.
Was that at St. Ben's?
St. Ben's, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so several of my older brothers, my brother John, my brother Matthew, all state qualifying wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, because 11 kids, there wasn't a lot to do, just wrestle each other all the time.
Oh, we had some great family fights. My sister Teresa is one of the, although as how sweet she is, she's one of the most fierce.
People. Yes.
You never want to piss her off because she could pick you up with one hand and choke you out. You can ask a couple of our sister-in-laws about that.
That's great. Okay. So, SORT. What that was basically, there's a riot. Bring in the SORT guys.
Well, our primary function was the jail, but... Yeah. Because of Skinny Sheehan, we were a countywide unit. So we got called on a lot of different things. In this particular incident instance, one of our prior Cook County Sheriff's, a guy named Melvin Figueroa, he transferred over to the U.S. Marshal's Office. Well, in case people don't know, there's actually a Con Air. That's a real thing that they made the movie about.
Con Air? Oh, yeah, where they transfer the convicts.
Yep.
Yeah.
So for this situation... Conair's landing gear wouldn't go up.
Oh.
So they got 200-something federal inmates on this plane, and they can't go anywhere because they're trying to fix it.
And they're up in the air?
No, they're on the tarmac at O'Hare.
Oh, okay.
They're on if they were up there, I don't think we would be able to help them out.
Yeah.
So they're parked on the tarmac at O'Hare, and this guy gives me a call. I was like, hey, Currency, can you help me out here? I'm like, let me send it up. And Richard Remus was our boss. Our captain was James Tilka. Leroy Terminiak was our lieutenant. Richard Velasquez was the sergeant. They set it all up. We got six or seven buses.
Of police officers?
SORT.
Yeah, SORT.
So
yeah.
We went down there. Our uniform was a black BDUs with the Marine Corps cover, the octagon, and we went and helped them out. So they only had a handful of U.S. Marshals take care of it.
Yeah.
Now these guys have been on the tarmac for hours.
Oh,
they're
wow.
getting unruly and being... typical inmates.
Yeah.
So
did you have to put them in buses or something?
We put them on the buses. And we stayed on the tarmac while the mechanics tried to fix the plane.
Ah.
After hours and hours, now they're getting unruly. So. We had to go and restrain a couple of them and use the proper amount of force to get them off the bus and put them in the back of another different squad. And hours.
It's a nightmare.
Well, for us, it was fun because that's what we like to do. We would train if we ever had to go... put in on an incident, there would be four of the offenders against one of us, and that's how we trained.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
going on that, it was kind of easy.
Yeah.
So they couldn't fix the plane.
Yeah.
So now what are we supposed to do? So some of our contacts, we contacted Chicago State Police, Cook County Sheriff's Department, and the Marshals. We shut down the Kennedy on a Friday night, drove all six of those buses down to the Metropolitan Correctional Center, the MCC, at Clark and Congress.
Yeah.
They made the mistake of making me the lead bus.
Yeah.
So during training, you're out at this humongous parking lot, and they dare you, or they try to get you to get the bus on three wheels.
Oh, wow.
I was one of the only people that were able to get the bus on three wheels.
How fast are you going for something like that? And you got all these guys in the bus?
Well, that was just for the training. But on the bus, the guy, Melvin Figueroa, was like, we've been out here all day. Let's get Currency. How fast can you get us there? I'm like... Oh, yeah. How fast do you want me to go? He's like, how fast?
Were you driving it?
I was driving the bus.
Okay.
So I don't know if my other partner's here, Josh Bertle. He just walked in. we would have three men on the bus, and then we had Chicago state, other squads with our unit, and the marshals. They're blocking off every entrance. They're getting everyone out of our way. We're shutting down the Kennedy on our Friday night. The height of traffic and everything else, rush hour, I got it up to 85 miles an hour.
Everyone.
And we're taking the turns. I don't know if you're right by St. Stanislaus. There's that nice little curve right before you go into Ohio. We got it, and I think I got that bus, and you hear everyone. Now, on the radio, my partner, Josh, he's sitting there waiting, just looking to see if anyone's coming in on us in case it's something going on. Martiniak's yelling at us on the radio, Bertles, get back in there and Kern, slow down. I got the marshal saying, speed up, because we want to be done for the day.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, Melvin Fergo, I was like, do you think you can get it up to 90?
I'm like, oh my God.
I'll try. But we got up to 85 on the Kennedy on a Friday night going from O'Hare to MCC.
And what are the prisoners saying while during all this? Hey, man.
They were as quiet as a church mouse.
Oh, really? Scared.
You get to MCC, we block off the whole blocks. You got to back the buses in. It's a very small window to get into the garage doors there. Yeah. Back it in. They're coming out, and we're all standing prone, getting to make sure there's not a problem with them. The one guy stops, like, you could drive that bus like a mofo.
Did you say thank you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Huh? Thank you. Like Elvis. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
That's one of the few stories that I actually can tell from that team.
Yeah.
One of the best experiences of my life. Great people to work with. Great bosses.
Yeah.
I miss the sheriff's department tremendously. Unfortunately, that other person that I don't even want to say his name anymore is in charge there, which completely ruined that department.
Now, what did you say about Skinny Sheehan? What did he have to do with it?
He was one of our bosses.
Skinny?
So, yeah. Mike Sheehan, that's what we call
Mike Sheehan.
Yes.
Oh, his brother, Skinny, was never in charge of anything, that's for sure.
Well, on the team, because whenever they needed anything done, they would call our team.
Okay, so the sheriff, Mike Sheehan.
Yes, the sheriff, Mike Sheehan.
Okay, all right, yeah. Because he and Skinny are like night and day, I can tell you.
I know, but that's what our team called the sheriff, Michael Sheehan.
Okay.
I know his brothers also nicknamed that, but that's what we called him.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's a story behind it that I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Or I can't share.
Well, there's a million stories about Skinny. Mike's the best. Absolutely
I agree.
Absolutely the best, yeah.
It was it was awful when he left and led to the disbandment of the unit, and that's why I left and went to Park Ridge.
Is that why you left the sheriff's? Because of D-A-R-T?
Oh, don't be swearing at me there.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was good, though. You just switched over and...
Yes, and it was... It was good. I mean, it's helping me further my law enforcement career. I've tremendous bosses there. It's good to work with people. I've been reassociated with other people that I haven't talked to in a long, long time.
At Park Ridge.
Park Ridge Police Department. So I've been there since 2008.
Okay.
Coming up June will be my 14th year there, 24 glorious years of law enforcement.
Yeah. Now, you won an award. Do you want to tell me about that award?
No, well, I got a better story.
Okay. Better story, tell me.
So, being a part, one of the task force that I'm on is with the MCAT.
What's MCAT?
It's Major Crime Scene Assistant Team.
Okay.
So, back in 1993, there was something you may have heard of, the Palatine Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Palatine Chicken Massacre.
Yeah.
Luna and Tagorsky, which is ironic because when I was on SORT, those were two people that we had to escort back and forth to court.
One of those guys,
Two of those guys.
Yeah.
Complete buffoons.
Yeah.
To be an understatement. But that was formed in 1993, and it's a multi-jurisdictional task force. So I think there's approximately 30 different departments that are part of it. And they have different forensics, crash scene investigations, and surveillance. I'm a part of the surveillance team.
Okay.
So back... February of 2018, there was a homicide out of Mount Prospect. This young man, 21 years old, we named him Drago because he looked like Drago from Rocky.
Drago, yeah.
Very, very fit young man.
Yeah.
Thought he wanted to live the thug life.
Yeah.
Was doing some drug deals. Set
in
up
Mount Prospect.
In Mount Prospect.
Yeah.
So remember, bad people are everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
Bad people go everywhere.
Sure, yeah.
So as nice as the suburbs seem to be, there's still bad things that go on there.
Yeah.
So this guy does a drug deal. The drug deal goes bad, and he winds up shooting the guy.
Yeah.
So he's sitting in the passenger seat. He's doing a drug buy. He's selling the guy a pound of weed. Shoots him seven times, kills him.
And the guy's in the driver's seat?
Driver's seat. So he tries to conceal the homicide. He goes around, dumps the guy's body into the floorboards of the passenger seat, runs back inside to the auto shop that they were doing the drug deal in front of.
Yeah.
And then goes and tries and burns the car.
Oh.
So MCAT gets pulled out on because Mount
MCAT,
Prospect.
They
can't take care of this investigation all by themselves, so they start calling us in.
Yeah.
Investigations do a tremendous job through video footage, everything, locating the prime suspect.
Yeah. Drago.
Yeah, Drago.
Yeah.
So once they get him, that's when the surveillance unit gets contacted and activated. So we keep an eye on him while the detectives and investigators.
Oh, so he's like out on bond or something?
No, he doesn't even know that we know that's going on.
Oh, okay.
So the investigation's going on. They locate their primary suspect in the homicide.
This is the guy we think did it. Keep an eye on him.
So we got him. They got him the dead rights. Everything that they got him. If you do anything now, especially with cell phones and cameras, you're on camera.
Yeah.
So we pick this guy up. We start surveilling him in Itasca. Way far south, and this is Mount Prospect.
Yeah.
We follow this guy and tail him. We have over 10 covert cars.
Wow.
20 people on the team is the investigations that are working on the warrants and everything else.
Yeah.
We're following this guy. We follow him and trail him for the entire day from 6 o'clock in the morning till 11:30 at night when we issued and executed the warrant. This guy drove over 250 miles in one day doing drug deals, he was in college. Huh. In a suburb.
He went to class.
Went to class 2 days after murdering somebody.
Yeah.
But he's all over the place, from Itasca all the way to Round Lake Beach, back to Arlington Heights, back to Mount Prospect, back to and everything else. And we didn't know it, but we found out through the investigation, the Cook County Sheriff's HIDTA team had this guy on the radar already.
Yeah.
So we start talking to their investigators. They do a group effort on that. They do a controlled buy. Same place that he committed the homicide.
Oh, outside the auto shop.
Yeah. Yep, the auto shop in Mount Prospect. And then we wound up converging on him.
Yeah.
He tried to ram a couple of our cars, but we took him into custody. No one else was injured. No, none of us were injured.
Yeah.
He's been taken into custody, convicted of homicide, concealment of a death.
Yeah. Is he a big dude?
No, he was fit.
Yeah.
You know, you start researching these guys and looking things up. You know, social media is the worst thing for everybody.
Yeah.
He's got all sorts of videos on him shooting his guns and breaking bats. I mean, he was physically fit, but we had him dead to rights. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a great case. But just the investigations, surveillance, forensics did such a good job. They put the nail on the coffin on this guy. It was great.
You loved it.
Yes,
right?
It was great.
Well, I could tell.
250 miles. Tracking this guy, and not a single one of the team from surveillance got made.
Yeah.
And he was when we first picked him up.
Idea.
We got first picked him up. It was like 7-8 o'clock in the morning, and there was a monsoon going on.
Oh, it was right.
And he's going from Itasca back to Mount Prospect, and he's driving like a complete ass.
Yeah.
He's flying to an 85 miles an hour. Now you got
kind of like a guy in a bus going to the MCC.
Or like me going to Jeff's house for a drink. So we're all over the place. You got 10 different cars, and you're switching out on doing things, and we have our ways of doing things. We're all in radio contact and everything else, and switching out his length. But it's raining cats and dogs, and he's driving like a complete ass. And we were able to stick with him.
Yeah,
stayed with him. We never lost him. And he did drug deals. He went to people's house. He went to dinner. And by the time we executed the warrant at 11:37 at night, we had him.
Yeah. And you probably had him for a series of different crimes as well, I would think.
Everything that led up, and that's where the surveillance steps away and the investigations and that. That's why I like surveillance, because we get them and they have to do all the paperwork.
All right, now tell me about the Emerald Society. I know you love being the president.
I do.
You just recently elected. I was there. I voted for you.
Thank you very much.
I'm
we'll leave that one go.
Here
you go. I'll buy you a Fox's Pizza later. How about that? I'll buy you a drink on the 12th, as long as with everyone else.
Okay. Oh, you want to plug that, the 12th?
Well, here, I got a couple things to plug.
Okay, absolutely.
If you want. Well, so one of the many glorious things we do with Jeff and Tim and Deb.
Yes, just talk about this Friday night.
We have over 60 Garda coming in from Kilkenny this year.
Police officers from Ireland.
Yes, yeah. The Irish National Police.
Yeah.
So working with the International Police Association.
Garda Síochána.
Yes. Yeah. They are, they're doing, the International Police Association, they're doing a meet and greet at the Chicago FOP on Friday the 11th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
that. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
They have a lot of swag to exchange.
Oh,
it's
good.
Open to it's all open to all law enforcement, all friends and family, all supporters.
Yeah.
It's a good night. I believe they're charging $20 at the door.
Definitely.
Food
just
and
meet
a
these
cash
guys.
Bar. Yeah, they're great people.
Yeah.
And then of course we have our grand event that Jeff has been diligently working on. Everything has come together. I really have to say that
Billy Wooten doing the sound.
You know, rootin' tootin' Billy Wooten.
Yes.
So all of our shamrocks are in our clove all together. Everything's set up. Yeah. Everything's nicely set.
Are the Garda going to be here for that as well?
Yes.
They'll be that.
They are going to be working with the International Police Association. We're setting everything up, and we're trying to show them the best time that we possibly can. So between
who runs the International Police Association? That's worldwide.
The president, yes, it's worldwide. I'm just becoming familiar with this organization, but their president is a guy by the name of R.C. Kane.
Yeah,
very nice guy. We've been working very well together, trying to make sure that they get the best time that they could possibly have.
That's a great
have.
Idea. And I used to see those guys at the parades, and it's just great that they're here.
So not only is the Garda going to be marching with the Emerald Society, so is the International Police Association, along with hopefully all of our friends and family.
Oh yeah,
the multi-jurisdictional, all of our. Yeah. Well, you should maybe come out and march with us too.
What does this mean? Be a wise guy. I should, but I'll tell you what, I'll be there Friday night to meet those guys.
Excellent. That's good. And then of course we have our grand event, which is the 12th.
12th at the, on parade day.
Yes, at the local at 399 Hall. Operation
Plumbers
Engineers
Hall.
Hall.
The local 299 Hall.
399.
Oh, 399.
It's a three.
Okay. Yes. Brian Hickey would kill me if you heard me say
don't
that.
Do that. Working with Mr. Just everyone there, everything is set. If you're going to be marching with us, we have four buses that are going to escort us down from the Plumbers Hall down to the parade, drop us off at our staging area, which is usually Columbus and Balboa.
Right.
The buses are going to go to the end of the parade route and wait for us right at Monroe and Lakeshore Drive.
And you have the Emerald Society Pipes and Drums band.
Yes, they are going to be there. They lead us, the uniformed officers after that, and then friends, family falling in behind that.
Terrific.
So after we march, we go to the buses. We're going to be escorted back from the parade to the hall, and then the party's going to begin. And then we're going to have the Larkin and Moran Brothers as our main performance.
Yeah.
And, of course, a performance by the best band in all the land. The bagpipes and drums at the Emerald City Chicago Police Department will be doing a performance there.
The Larkin and Moran Brothers are in my TV show that's going to air on St. Patrick's Day on Channel 11 at 11 p.m. They're the opening act, actually.
Well, I'm sure we'll just be watching with a good pint or two.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I got to ask you this, Daniel. So you love being the Emerald Society president. You've been involved in this organization for years, and it's just a great group of police officers, male and female.
The finest people I've ever met in my life, without a doubt, other than my family, of course.
Yeah. Other than your 11 people in your family. Well, actually, it was 13, right? Yeah.
Well, with my mom. And I'll give you another story. Believe it or not, my mother actually had a few miscarriages.
Oh.
And the doctors said that she would never be able to have children.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, she proved them wrong pretty well.
Yeah, I guess so. God
so there were supposed to be 17 of us.
Holy cow. Oh, man. Okay. God rest her soul.
Back to the parade. So uniform marchers for the day, it's $30. Just coming in, it'll be $40.
$40? Oh, just coming in for the party. Yeah.
So, but we've got corned beef and cabbage. We've got the band. We've got adult frosty
beverages.
Calabria Brothers is going to the official caterer of the Emerald Society.
All right, now one of the things we do on the show, and the reason we have police officers and firefighters and paramedics and nurses, is because we believe our Irish first responders are the modern-day equivalent of our ancient Irish mythological warriors, and indeed you are. But in 2020, the world went nuts. BLM, Antifa, all of that, defund the police, which I think is a madness. One of the reasons we started doing the show and videotaping all this stuff is we're working on a documentary called Irish Cops Under Siege. And we want to talk about that. What's your take on the whole situation.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I agree.
And yeah. To quote the beautiful queen of the parade,
who was here
Kelly
just
Lydon,
last week, yeah, yeah.
A world without the police is
a world without
right.
law and order. Yeah.
It's ridiculous that these libtards want to pull this kind of shenanigans
yes.
with us, and we're always the last person they want to call until they need us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's tragic, and it's so stupid at the same time. But I think that the police have behaved pretty restrained in through all of this, and are to be saluted to that. I think back to the Columbus statue incident, one of the worst things I've ever
Which
seen.
I've had plenty of friends that were down there with the Chicago Police Department that were injured.
Yes.
That day that.
And badly injured too.
And
yeah.
it was well orchestrated, well
oh, yeah.
planned.
Yeah.
Between the batons and everything that they pulled out of their signs.
Yeah.
The frozen bottles that they
of
threw
water,
at them and
yeah,
it injured
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It just goes to prove that as much training and everything that we do to combat those type of things, the bad guys are training to come back at
sure.
us.
Sure. Yeah.
Nonstop.
There's an evil force out there, and you guys are the last stand. So God bless you for doing what you're doing and. And we salute you,
thank
Daniel.
You.
And we hope everybody comes out on...
it's going to be a grand affair.
The March 12th. Also, with the Guard of Chicona, Friday, March 11th at FOP
at
Lodge
FOP.
7. What's the address over there?
It is 1412 West Washington.
Okay, I know it well. I'm going to crank it over there. All right, so any final remarks?
Just thank you and everyone else for coming
guest.
Out.
And thanks for bringing your family, all huh? 812 of them.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't be here without my board, Tracy, Tim, Deb, that guy Jeff, your buddy. So, but everything that we're doing, we're moving forward tremendously. We're taking great steps to not only put...
You're getting a lot more active, I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Emerald Society, we have to be back on the forefront. We need
yeah.
to do it. We have to be here for each other. We're working with the Polish American Police Association.
Good for you.
The German American. Just trying to get the younger guys to be a part of it.
Yeah.
To helping them with their future and maintaining...
Ethnic pride, man. Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
But just becoming together as a whole.
Yeah.
We're really the only people that are there for us at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's great. And it's great that you guys are showing an example for that with the Emerald Society. So stay safe, my friend.
I will drive fast, take chances, and I'll be reckless.
We're very proud of you, and we salute you, Daniel Kearns. Thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend. We're going to take a little break here. On Hibernian Radio. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. Achihi's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we are back. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Hey, thanks to Daniel Kearns, president of the Emerald Society. He's having a blast tonight. He was terrific. You know, I want to remind everybody, once again, while we're plugging stuff, the Emerald Society meeting is Saturday, March 12th. It's parade day, and it's if you get there the right time, you can take the bus at 9:30 a.m. Please arrive by 9, parking lot at Union Hall, 2260 South Grove Street, local 399 Operating Engineers Hall. Full corned beef and cabbage dinner with adult beverages, pop, water will be provided. The finest police bagpipe band, the bagpipes and drums of the Emerald Society Chicago Police Department, the Larkin and Moran Brothers. You're going to have a blast. And so that is Saturday, March 12th. And then maybe 4 o'clock Saturday, March 12th, is Hoolie Fest, which is at the Beverly Arts Center. Three of my favorite films, Going East on Ashland at 4 o'clock. 6 o'clock is Our Irish Cousins. and In Search of Weeping Jim at 8 o'clock. All very Irish-oriented. They will make you thirsty, want to laugh. There's a great story in the Beverly Review page. Which page is it on? It's on page 2 this week, all about the film festival. So that's coming up. And if you come from the party at the Union Hall, please be responsible. I don't want to have to get in an incident report with any of these crazy guys from the Emerald Society. But I will be there Friday night. I got to go to that on the 11th just to meet all the cappers from Ireland. And looking forward to that. Also on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, Thursday at 11 o'clock, WTTW, which stands for Wilmette Talks to Winnetka, Chicago PBS, is going to air broadcast my show, Our Irish Pub, which shot right here and was shot in Ireland at Matt Malloy's pub in Westport and shot at another place in Edison Park. So hope to see you, you know, watching that. You'll get a kick. Now, Billy, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or any of the great Irish saloons, I look in the window, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Wooly, who died?" Okay. there it is. There's my music. All right, now, this is an interesting story. This guy, Sean Hickey, age 49, a Naperville resident since 1994, formerly of Chicago and Hickory Hills, passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday. He was born December 29th, 1972, just a young man. Beloved son of Ann Hickey of Naperville and the late James B. Jim Hickey Sr., loving brother of Patrick Hickey, retired Colonel James Hickey, who captured Hussein, what's his name? Saddam Hussein. This Hickey, James Hickey, retired colonel, I think it was the United States Marine Corps, captured Saddam Hussein. Then Ken Hickey and Maureen Moran and Colleen Collins. Anyway, Ken called me or got in touch with me over this week, and he told me his little brother had died, and he was looking for a piper, and I found a piper. The great Billy Donnelly, he was there today helping them out, with their family. But he told me a funny story about his little brother. He was a small guy, and he had been tested all through life for dwarfism. He wasn't, but he was very tiny. He was short, maybe 4 feet tall. But in the Naperville area, he used to go hit the bars, and, you know, two beers in a guy that size, forget it. So the Naperville cops took him under their wing. And, you know, the buyer would call and they'd throw Sean in the back of the car and take him home every night. I guess he was just a delightful fella. God rest his lovely soul, Sean C. Hickey, 49. Timothy Ford, age 76, a beloved husband of Nancy and the loving brother of Therese and the late Loretta and John Ford. John Ford, his funeral or the visitation is on St. Patrick's Day, believe it or not. Be a good day to have your wake. God rest your soul, Timothy P. Ford. Joan Sheehy, 87, dedicated her life to being kind, thoughtful, and overwhelmingly generous to everyone. She had an infectious sense of humor and read the New York Times cover to cover nearly every day. The only thing she loved more than gardening and helping the poor and disadvantaged was having a political argument defending social values and the equitable rights of all people. Anyways, Joan and her brother Mike were raised on Chicago's South Side. After graduating from Visitation High School, she joined the convent, became part of the Dominican Sisters of Cincinnati. As a nun, she taught under... Anyway, Sister Joan Sheehy, God rest her soul, 87. Nancy Lyons, formerly of North Riverside. She was the cherished daughter of the late Daniel and Eileen Lyons, dear sister of Patricia, Daniel, Christopher, Gigi, and Aaron. Nancy was known on 7th Avenue in North Riverside as the forever child of Dan and Eileen Lyons. She moved to Alden Village, Bloomingdale, in 2004 after the death of her dad. God rest her soul, Nancy Kathleen Lyons. Patricia Ann Doland, age 90, Doland, beloved wife of 67 years of Jim Dolan, Sr., loving mother of James L.A. Dolan Jr., Brian, William, Ann, and Michael. Pat was an active member of St. Christopher Rosary Altar Society, and lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. Christopher School. Thomas John McMahon, age 87, of Glenview, beloved husband of Patricia Corrine McMahon, loving father of John, David, Anne Marie, and Irene McMahon, dear brother of Eileen, and the late Mary Jane. God rest his soul, Thomas John McMahon, 87. Anna M. Walsh, 96, of Chicago, passed away February 25th. Beloved wife of the late James and the late Robert Joseph, loving mother of Sam, who's married to Tammy, Joe, and Jim, and she was the cherished grandmother of 6 and the great-grandmother of 13. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to St. Paschal Parish. The reason I bring those up is because my friend PJOD, who is our Obit Scout, who celebrated his 96th birthday on Sunday, always notices who people remember in lieu of flowers. And he says, if they give to Misericordia or St. Jude, he says, he was one of the good ones. One of the good ones. The family of James Gibbons Shea, after 59 years of a life well-lived and well-loved, he was preceded in death by his mother, Mary Jean Gibbons Shea, and his grandparents, Patrick and Eileen Shea, and Robert and Gertrude Gibbons, many aunts and uncles. Jimmy was born to Mary Jean and James Shea in Chicago. He loved sports and played basketball and baseball while in grammar school, Loyola Academy. He's on the golf and baseball teams. God rest his soul, James Shea. Raymond A. Carroll, beloved husband of the late Noreen Carroll, loving father of Kathleen and Dermot Carroll. God rest his soul, Raymond Carroll. I think that's going to close up the crypt. I didn't have anybody from Sheehy tonight. And of course, we know that's where all the right people go. So, Billy, we're going to take a little break. Come back for a little Hooli Town. Stick around. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some.
The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep, side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke yakety-dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Welcome to Hooli Town, my favorite place. One story. A little old lady was standing at the railing of a cruise ship, holding her hat tight so that it wouldn't blow away in the wind. Gentleman approached her and said, "Pardon me, madam, I do not intend to be forward, but did you know that your dress is blowing up in this high wind?" "Yes, I know," said the lady. "I need both my hands to hold on to this hat." "But, madam, you must know that you're not wearing any underwear and your privates are exposed," said the gentleman in earnest. The woman looked down and then back up the man and replied, "Sir, anything you see down there is 85 years old, and I just bought this hat yesterday." Okay. Thanks, everybody. I will see you next week. Guest canceled next week, so I got to find a guest, but we'll find one. I hope everybody has a great St. Patrick's Day. Another week till St. Patrick's Day. Don't forget, Hooli Fest, March 12th. We want you all there. We're giving away Paddy's Irish whiskey, all kinds of stuff. So we will see you later. Bye.
Well, I look down the road and I wondered just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes and then I started walking. And I started walking just to see how far I was from gold. All right. I received the blessing. I received.